And we are live, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Wrestle Purist Raw After WrestleMania review. I'm your host, Ibu of Wrestle Purist, better known to many of you guys as Back of Hangman. And I'm joined by Rob of the Island of Relevancy, an island that's taking a big blow and is dramatically shaken after this weekend, maybe radically altered. But he's with me, and we are here live to talk about a fun Raw at the WrestleMania after just a busy and packed WrestleMania weekend, allegedly the most successful one in the history of the promotion. And so we're going to discuss all the fallout of Monday Night Raw and WrestleMania. We'll maybe get into some of the news surrounding that. And we're going to hang out with you guys for a little bit and talk about all this. So make sure to like the video, comment, send super chats, give us all your feedback, maybe ask any questions you may have. Because a lot of news came out of this show, and we will be getting into everything shortly. But before we proceed any further, Rob, talk to me, man. How you feeling? What's going on?
I'm lost, bro. I don't know what to do. My tribal chief has gone dark on all social medias. Mm-hmm. He has posted one thing since WrestleMania night two. Mm-hmm. And he posted that yesterday was a day of mourning, and today is day one. I don't know what that means, but I don't know what to do anymore. I wanted him to do, like, retain, because I mean, like, I did, but like, I, knowing Triple H and how he doesn't like to finish stories, especially being a day one, well, not Dusty era, but being a day one black and gold nigga, like, I didn't think that he would finish, let Cody actually finish the story this year again, simply because he's that type of guy. He never lets people finish their stories. Like, it took Johnny Gargano started chasing the NXT title at the end of 2017, beginning of 2018, and he didn't win it till like a year later. So like, and he was at his hottest at that point. So, like, I didn't expect Cody to do it, but he really did it. He really did it. And now all I got left is Big Dewey, Big DJ. All I got left is Big DJ.
You're cooked, Rob. You're absolutely cooked. It's over for Roman this Friday. Jacob Fatu is coming. He is coming. And he's coming for Roman Reigns. And it's going to be over for you. It's going to be fucking curtains for you. And I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see it. Bloodline are no longer on top. The dynasty is over, finally. And speaking of which, Dave Meltzer reported today that the plan for WrestleMania 41 is The Rock versus Roman? No. The Rock versus Cody Rhodes. And you know what? Bloodline crybabies, Roman crybabies, y'all are just going to have to accept that.
I'm not even upset at that. You know why? Because I still think they're running Rock and Roman WrestleMania at some point. So I'm not even upset about that. This just, to me, if they don't do a night one, night two situation, like with next year, that just means that The Rock is staying longer than he actually is. Because what I expected was The Rock was going to do this 1 year, and they were going to go to 41. It was going to be him versus Roman, and then he was just going to be finished with wrestling completely. But seeing as how he's on the board and the way things are moving now, and the fact that, you know, hearing, being told what I've been told, basically, about, like, and what you've said on here about him fucking having the bug again, I don't expect him to be done after, like, this year. Like, this 1 year going into 41. I think he's going to do 41 and 42.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. I think Dwayne's in it for the long haul. He said it himself. He's in it for the long
game. He wouldn't be on the board if he wasn't in it for the long haul, you know?
Yeah, he said he's playing the long game. And, I mean, first of all, look at how much that's helped WWE, dude. Like,
yeah,
they were already hot as a company, right?
Yes.
They were already hot, right? Now they're... We don't have a stage on Raw anymore, hot.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, they can't even, like, they can't, like, the way WWE used to be set up, like, they could do the LEDs all over the place. Like, hey, that's why they started doing a fat ass LED in 2019, because people weren't showing up.
Yeah, that's why they made the stage bigger. Rob, do you realize that there hasn't been a Raw stage in 3 weeks?
bro.
This week, last week, the week before.
To be quite honest with you, I think this should just be the set going forward. If you're not going to make it smaller.
I like the small set. The thing is, I mean, I don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way they're going to be able to keep up this pace of tickets like forever. You know what I mean? Like, I think they'll be able to continue. Like, here's the thing. I think 11K and up is the new normal. They'll definitely do that, which is like, and they can definitely do TV sellouts with a stage. TV sellouts with no stage is like doing it one time is crazy, right? They did it 3 times in a row, which is fucking crazy.
That is fucking insane.
It's insane. So, we'll see. I do like the smaller stage. I really, really like the look of it. I love the aesthetic. And Raw had it last night. They had over 18,000 tickets sold per WrestleTix. WWE was touting 20K in the building. Yeah, man. White hot night in Philadelphia in Wells Fargo. And The Rock was on the show. We got an appearance from John Cena. We got Ilya Dragunov making his main roster debut. We got the announcement of the WWE draft, which is taking place at the end of this month. We got all kinds of other things happening on the show. Drew McIntyre thought he was going to become the number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship, and he was screwed by CM Punk, who was still there. And Punk costed Drew an opportunity to become the number one contender. And Jey Uso won the main event and became the number one contender. We had a vignette touting the return of Sheamus. Sheamus is coming back. So that's something to be on the lookout for. And Jade Cargill also was there last night on Raw. And we also got an appearance from Roxanne Perez. So a pretty eventful show. We'll get into all of it in detail. But before we do, again, guys, like the video, comment, send me super chats. Let's read your thoughts. And with that said, Rob, let's get into some of the super chats right now.
All
right,
let's get into our first super chat here. Scott, 279 Canadian. What are your favorite matches from Roman's reign?
I'll let you start this one off.
I'll let you go first. Yeah, I'll let you go first while I think.
I was going to make you go.
Are you going to let me go first? Okay.
Yeah, go ahead.
The Claudio match, obviously. Bryan and Edge, obviously. The Cena match, I really liked. I didn't think it was as great as everybody's made it seem it was. I liked it. Let's see what else. Brock, SummerSlam. The main one was mid. The Crown Jewel one was really good. Let's see. 22 going for.
Wait, which Crown Jewel one?
The Crown Jewel. It was the first Brock and Roman match. My hot take is
that's my favorite Tribal Chief Roman versus Brock match.
Really?
Yeah, I think it's really
good. I thought you would like the SummerSlam one more.
I think that match is cool. I like the Saudi one the most. Roman does the dive on the top, over the top rope.
The first Cody match I really liked.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like That's pretty much it. I mean,
all right, I'm gonna go.
You know,
my favorite, absolute favorite, Danielson at Fastlane 20.
Oh, I forgot the Danielson matches.
Danielson at SmackDown, Claudio at Backlash.
Wait,
what's up?
I forgot about fucking. Remember the one we just watched like a couple months ago? It was Roman, Big E, and Bobby.
Yeah, that was really good. Match. Roman in 2021 was great. He was pretty consistent as a wrestler. His work started to sag a bit in 2022.
I like the Sammy match and the Kevin match. The first few Kevin matches, one was cool.
No one remembers this, but he had a TLC match in the Thunderdome with Kevin Owens. That was really, really, really good.
Really good.
That was a great match.
The Steel Cage match is really good too.
The Steel Cage match is very good too. Yeah, man, Roman got a couple. Like, you don't.
Yeah, man.
It's a long fucking reign. It's a long fucking reign. But, yeah. So, right, those are a couple for you guys.
Thank you for the super chat. Hush199. They make Punkly a. They make. Are they making Punk a weekly act through his injury? Sorry.
I don't anticipate this. No.
No, like, I don't know. I think he is going to do like he did the other night and last night. And I think he's just going to go back to rehab soon. I don't. Because, like, they wouldn't let him do all this shit if he didn't be like, all right, I'll go back to rehab. I'm guessing so.
Right.
Austin Kinkle, $5. Final Boss really is the strongest in the verse. One-shotted the previous protagonist.
Yeah, bro. John Cena pulled up on him and got fucking destroyed, bro.
I see. I'm kind of depressed we didn't do a Mania review, bro, because like I really would have got my thoughts off about it. But needless to say, that match was so fucking fun, bro. And Cena, bro, but it really made me like Cena couldn't at least like pick him up for the act. Like he could just like
Rob. It's over for John Cena, bro.
Nah, bro. Listen.
It's over for John.
When he's gonna do this next movie and he's gonna come back with the buzz cut and he's gonna come back on the TRT and we're back.
Bro, John Cena is like a meme now.
You sound really upset.
I'm not upset at all. It's just over.
Hush, $199. Imperium on the way to the top. Talk soon. Rah.
Amen. Yeah, I think Gunther's gonna come back with a vengeance. Definitely. I think he's gonna come back with a vengeance.
I don't think he's just gonna go out after losing his belt like that. Hush, $199. How does Punk feel about the AEW footage? Oh well, Punk side feel about the AEW footage. Sorry.
He's at the least publicly. He's just kind of like treating it like how do I put this? Like he's just kind of like making like light jokes out of it. Essentially, he's not really focusing on it.
Because I feel like if he would have been upset about it or if he would have felt some type of way about it, we would have heard about it by now. So
He's aware. You know. He's aware it's happening. He's just kind of like making like jokes. He's going to people saying things like, I'm main eventing Dynamite tonight. I'm on this Wednesday. So that type of thing.
All right. Jay Stone, $5. Was worried about Ilya's direction on NXT, but glad he's about to be in the mix on the main roster. Streets need Ilya, Gunther 3, and Berlin. I think soon on NXT, he's going to lose the belt to Trick Williams, and then he's going to get drafted, is what I'm predicting is going to happen, because it's April, and I think April is spring breakout. So That's what I think is going to take place, spring breakout. Darren Walker, $5. The worst matches at WrestleMania were Jay versus Jimmy and the six-man street fight. Oh boy. They reward Jay with a world title shot versus Priest. Can't wait for Cody versus Cross.
That'd be disgusting. Karrion Cross is he's not good. He is not a good wrestler.
I heard you say that on Worldwide yesterday.
Yeah, he just doesn't understand WWE wrestling, I don't think.
Yeah, like the Saitos are cool and all, but like, bro, you gotta like come on. It's not all about the Saitos. They're not coming for that. Jay versus Jimmy really disappointed me. I did not. I thought they were going to go away from the meme of just doing super kicks, but apparently them and Jason Jordan didn't think that was a good idea. So it is what it is. Will Chisholm, $10. Is there a reason why Triple H is doing short women's matches? Is it a TKO thing since he was taking all the credit for women's wrestling in his NXT days? Just a masking.
No, I think it's just how it turned out this week. I'd imagine one. I think they're gonna get things situated when it comes to the rosters for the women on the like after the draft. And I'd expect once he's ready to kind of start up some new stories, he's gonna like get more women's matches back on the shows. So I just think that's just how it turned out this week.
All right. And the last super chat for now. Hush, $199. Might be a hot take, but Priest needs to drop the belt as soon as possible.
Yeah, I think he should as well. Now, if they want to make him hold it until the Clash of the Castle for Drew, I mean, I get that. But I'll tell you this. His presentation yesterday was fantastic. Like, he did look big time when I saw that. But the problem, I would say, is that even for all the work they've done to kind of get him to this point, there's no on-paper Damian Priest title match that makes me excited. None.
At all.
You say, oh, Damian Priest versus this guy for the World Heavyweight Championship. Damian Priest is that guy. There's no match you can bring up to me. Then I'm like, oh, that's a big-time one. Like, none of them. None of them feel that way. So combine that with Sami Zayn being the one holding the IC belt, and it just feels like that's the belt I'm more kind of looking at for this time being. I mean, Sami's facing Chad Gable next week in Montreal. That feels bigger than any Damian Priest World Heavyweight Championship match you can make right now.
That as like it feels like AJ versus Bryan in 2018, and that's what the route they should go for. But we'll get into that more when we get into the match. And the actual last super chat before we get into Raw, Alex Diaz 199 Nakajima full time NXT plus need EO versus Julia soon.
So Alex Diaz is asking this because Corey Brennan of Fightful Select has confirmed that WWE have interest in Katsuhiko Nakajima, the former All Japan Triple Crown champion. Nakajima has departed All Japan, as confirmed by Tokyo Sports. He has yet to make his next move in wrestling. He's kind of just laying low. We don't know what's going to happen with him. We don't know where he's going to go. We just know that WWE is interested, which I'm not surprised by. Nakajima was the person that wrestled Charlie Dempsey for the Triple Crown Championship in January, and Dempsey was sent over to All Japan by WWE. We know that he's the son of William Regal. We know William Regal is very big on recruiting international wrestlers. It's been confirmed and reported by Fightful that William Regal was instrumental in acquiring the services of a one Julia. So it's pretty easy to connect the dots here, Rob, and say that the stars may align for a Nakajima signing. And I'm going to just give my quick opinion. You know, when I first heard about this months ago, right? Mm-hmm. Like when it was kind of first thrown out, like what's Nakajima going to do? When he first left Noah and it was like, what's he going to do? I thought, man, he is so not like WWE and WWE's wrestlers that I don't see that happening.
Right.
I'll say this. When he did the Inoki transformation and had the Inoki inspired character in All Japan, like I don't know how much of you that you see now, but like he shaved his head and put the towel and this whole thing. He's turned into a whole new performer to me. And what I'll say now is this. The way that WWE was pushing Nakamura in the fall when they were trying to heat him up for Seth Rollins and gave him the subtitled promos, I thought the presentation of Shinsuke and the push and the booking was really good. The problem was that Nakamura, the wrestler, couldn't back up anything in the ring because he just doesn't have it anymore. And I'll tell you this, if you plug Katsuhiko Nakajima into that exact same presentation, but he brings the stiffness and the intensity and he's kicking the dog shit out of a Chad Gable, out of an Ilya Dragunov, out of a Sami Zayn, out of a Drew McIntyre, out of a Sheamus, out of a Gunther. I think I'm all in. I think I'm on board. And so, you know what? I don't actively root for wrestlers to go to WWE, to be honest with you, like most of the time. I kind of want him to go to WWE. I think they should actually go for it with him. And it appears that they might be.
Yeah, and I think that his run in NXT could be, not even NXT, his run in WWE could go miles ahead of where Kenta's went. Because where with Kenta, they stuck him in NXT, he kept getting hurt all the time because he kept working with people that didn't know what the fuck they were doing. So that he kept getting hurt all the fucking time. And then he went up to the main roster, then he hurt Brian Kendrick, and Vince was like, okay, well, stick him on 205 Live for the rest of his tenure. So, but I don't, with the new regime in place, I don't think that'll could take place, but we'll see. We'll see. I kind of want him in New Japan, but I don't know what the fuck is going on over there. So
it's unfortunate, but you know.
All right. And that is the last super chat before we get into Raw. Yes.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Keep them coming. Feel free to ask questions. Feel free to give us your opinions and takes on anything that happened over the last few days. Raw was fascinating. We opened up, Rob, with a commercial-free first hour. And off-rip, Triple H comes out. And oh, man, that small set is so fucking cool. I love that small set.
Bro, the small set is so fire, bro.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's awesome. Get the great visual with the fans. He's coming out of a tunnel.
The next thing we need is more signs. We need more signs up here.
So Triple H walks out of there through that small tunnel like it's an MSG, like it's an old WWE MSG show. And big thank you, Hunter Chance. And he's basking in all of that. Of course he is. It's Triple H. He, as much as he wants to, you know, project like that he's, you know, humility. He loves getting this reaction from the crowd, and he loves being able to stamp himself and say, you know, this is my show. And so he got to do that. He came out and he was just kind of taking in the thank you Hunter chants. And he was like, that's funny because I came out here to thank you. And he said this weekend was the greatest WrestleMania of all time. And he touted the numbers and the business metrics. And he said that it's a new era. Tonight starts a new era. And this new era is brought in and started by. And then he introduces Cody Rhodes. And so Cody Rhodes comes out and the fans are going nuts for Cody Rhodes and you deserve it and everything. And Cody was very, very emotional. And he hugged Triple H. And Hunter basically stopped him and said, hey, before you do anything, there's something that the production guys wanted me to show you. And I thought, no, I'm going to show everybody. And funny enough, you couldn't put it on a big Titantron because there was no Titantron because they sold so many tickets that there's no stage. So they wheeled out a TV. They wheeled out a TV, and the fans had to watch it on the big screen above. And basically, we got this really cool long video tribute to Cody Rhodes and his entire career. We saw shots of Cody Rhodes with Brandi Rhodes in New Japan. We saw some of Cody Rhodes in Evolve and some other independent territories. We saw Cody Rhodes in OVW. We saw shots of Cody Rhodes as Stardust. We saw shots of Cody Rhodes as Dashing Cody Rhodes. And we got all the highlights of Cody Rhodes since coming back to WWE, winning the two Royal Rumbles, losing last year at WrestleMania, winning this year, going from undesirable to undeniable and winning the championship. And so it was really a nice package. Cody got very emotional watching this. He had a speech where he basically just said that the reason that he does this and reason why he fights for everybody and everything is because of his daughter. They played a video of his daughter, Liberty, saying, finish the story, daddy. And Cody said, when I go to work, I want to tell my daughter that I'm a champion, not a challenger. I want to tell my daughter that I'm a main eventer. And he's made it. And he said, my name is Cody Rhodes. Once undesirable, now undeniable, and I am the WWE Undisputed Champion. And he raised his belt. He also got Samantha Irvin to call him to introduce him one more time. And it was all nice, wholesome stuff. It was all kind of customary stuff you should do with your new world champion. The fans are going so crazy for Cody during all of this and giving him his flowers. And so everything's nice and wholesome. And then we get the big monkey wrench because if Yesamel plays over the PA and The Rock.
Look at this nigga.
Look at that nigga. The Rock emerges and it's like, wow, okay, The Rock's here. He walks out of there. He comes right to the ring and the fans are going absolutely ballistic. Absolutely ballistic for Dwayne. And he's getting nuclear heat. He's getting like Dominic heat, except it's like real in the sense of like he's generating real vitriol from this crowd. They wouldn't let him talk. They were chanting shut the fuck up. This segment went 15 minutes over because I mean it took like 5 minutes for to even get going from a verbal standpoint because they wouldn't stop chanting at The Rock. He got shut the fuck up chants, asshole, Rocky sucks, all of that, everything under the sun. Yeah, man, they were going off on Rock. It was crazy. He was getting the super heat. Yeah, man. And Rock says, now The Rock is a lot of things, but sucks isn't one of them. And they're chanting asshole at him. And he said that he came out to deliver flowers to Cody Rhodes and announced that Philadelphia broke the record for the largest gathering of trailer park trash. And the crowd is going crazy. Shut the fuck up, chants and big boos and everything. And Rock said, The Rock came out here, no fireworks, no blood spilled. And he acknowledged that he wanted that Rhodes overcame the odds and defeated Roman Reigns. 1-2-3 and completed the story. He said that Mama Rhodes should be proud of what her son did and that Dusty up in heaven would be proud of him too. The Rock talked about how his people's champion belt meant something. And then he asked, and also the fans were like saying that belt's fake. And Rock said, oh, no. The Rock got this from Ali's wife. And he's saying, oh, this is he said, The Rock is the people's champion. When The Rock first called himself the people's champion, he had to get permission from Muhammad Ali, the greatest. He's talking in this like hilarious Southern drawl during this entire point. But He asked if he could hold Cody Rhodes' new championship, and he said he never had a chance to hold that championship on Rhodes' shoulders. Rhodes said that Rock could hold his title for a moment as long as he could hold the Rock's People's Championship. And so the men exchanged their championships, and it was a slow thing where they're both kind of weary of each other, but they traded the championships. The fans are chanting, "This is awkward." It was really funny. But they're doing that. They have the championships around the shoulder. And Rock said, while holding the WWE title, he said,
"Oh my, look at this. Look at the future. Look at this.
Holy shit. Yeah, it looks good on him, I gotta admit." He says, "I just got to say, this just kind of feels right." And then he handed the belt back to Cody, and he said, "All right, the Rock's gotta go away for a little while now." And there were some fans who were like, "No," and they're doing the no chance. Some fans are trying to start the yes chance. And then eventually a nah, nah, hey, hey, goodbye.
Nah, I tweeted it out. It was at first. The Rock goes, they were just telling him to shut the fuck up 5 minutes ago. Then the Rock goes, "All right, everybody, the Rock has to go away now." Oh, he hears boo. and then he's like, "What the fuck?" And then people start going, "Nah, nah, nah." Yo, the Rock's crowd control is insane.
It's literally on a level above anyone ever. And when you watch him on TV, he's just ridiculously captivating. Whoa. And he says he has to go away now. And they're singing. And he said that when he returns, I'm coming for you, Cody Rhodes. He concluded by pointing out that even though Cody beat Roman the night before, 24 hours earlier, The Rock pinned him. And he said, "Cody, your story with Roman Reigns is over, but your story with me is just beginning."
What a beast.
And the crowd loses their mind. Rhodes said that, you know, your role is the little boss of the TKO board of directors. And he basically said, like, "So you're literally my boss, but I am your champion." The Rock said, "You are my champion. You are my champion." And then he was just like, this whole, as he's doing all this, he's speaking in hushed tones, and he's very, very, very terrifying. He is absolutely terrifying. He says to Cody, he said, I got one more thing to give you before I leave." And he puts it in Cody's hands, whatever this thing is. And he said, "Don't even open that hand," and said, "Never break," he said, "never break the final boss's heart again." And he left. And Cody did not reveal what Rock handed him. And he left on a cliffhanger. This felt like an epilogue scene to a movie that had a sequel coming up. This was the first 45 minutes of the show. I was utterly captivated and hanging on every single word the entire time. And what can you say other than The Rock is... he's just a monster, you know. This is all about making Cody and cementing him as the face of the company. The Rock, in his own weird way, because this is the hottest period since the Attitude Era, Cody now has a Cody versus the Boss storyline, the way Steve Austin did, but it's with a much completely different twist. And I'm all in. I'm very interested. I thought the segment was fascinating and just absolutely captivating. And again, we leave on a cliffhanger, and we do not know what The Rock handed Cody Rhodes. What do you think of the opening segment, Rob?
I loved the opening segment. Regardless of what the bit is and the long-running bit is, I'm happy for Cody. I'm happy he finally got his moment. I'm happy he finally got past the fucking Stardust shit and all the other bullshit and finally became champion. I really liked his promo. I loved the video package that they played for him after for him celebrating him winning. I really liked Dwayne's entrance has to be one of the best entrances currently in wrancing. It has to be one of the best entrances of the decade. Like when his theme hits and he's walking out and all you hear is electricity. I was watching I've watched this 100 times. I was watching the 5-minute video that they keep posting of it's Cena coming out, then Dwayne, then Taker coming out, right? Then Seth, then Taker. and like Cena just standing there, and then The Rock coming out, walking down to the ring, going, "Oh, you done fucked up now. Who the fuck told you you could come back to my fucking company?" And all you, but you don't even hear him cursing, because all you hear is choo, 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 choo. And then the fucking background is bro, it's crazy. I like the promo. While it was awkward, it basically made sense. It was Brock basically saying, like, "Yo, I could kill you right now, but I'm not going to kill you. But just know, in the future, if I really wanted to, I could kill you right now." So, I enjoyed it, and I'm hoping it builds up to a future match between The Rock and Cody.
It 100% is. I think that there was just so much tension in the segment. They're not trading verbal jabs. The Rock's not even like denigrating Cody Rhodes. He's rarely yelling or even raising his voice, but there is so much tension. It was so uncomfortable to see Rock speak to Cody in a manner where it was very hard to predict what he was going to do at the next second at every turn. He's talking about, "Can I touch that belt?" I'm like, he's going to attack him. He's saying, "Oh man, you know," he's telling stories about the Soul Man, Rocky Johnson, Dusty Rhodes. And I'm like, what is his aim here? He's just very, he's very hard to read. And it's why this role that he's performing right now is brilliant. He feels like he's terrifying. He feels like he has bodies buried in a different location. He feels like he could get anybody killed at any moment.
Bro, he
feels like he's going to attack Cody at any moment or snap. But he's so calm. It's like, it's literally like a mob boss or like a fucking like super villain that like is just speaking in calm. It's like Frieza, but when Frieza's inside that little kind of floating pod, and it's like Frieza's in his like just kind of calm state. Dwayne is absolutely terrifying. He's a monster. He's a literal monster.
I feel like if he and Cody have a match, he might kill Cody. Like in like 5 or 10 minutes, he might kill Cody.
Cody, like The Rock is probably going to send Jacob Fatu at Roman Reigns.
I posted yesterday. I was watching the Nation segment, and I feel like they're going to do the exact Nation segment. I feel like they're going to do with the Bloodline.
And here's the thing. I'm glad you mentioned that, because Rob, that happened on the Raw at the WrestleMania 14, and that's the first Attitude Era Raw post Austin winning the championship.
Yes,
and I'm starting to feel a lot of parallels. Let me explain. This current era of WWE has been going on for a little bit now, but Cody hasn't been the champion until now.
Right.
The Attitude Era did not start on the Raw at the WrestleMania 14. That style and direction of WWE.
Right.
Had been going on for about a year, right? Mm-hmm. But it felt like the official branding for WWE with the Attitude was starting to be like cemented around that point, right? And so it's almost the same thing, where because now they're doing all this new era talk, and it's like this era really started like before this, but it's almost like the company's now saying so once the new guy's the champion. And also similarly, on the Raw after the guy's crowning, there's this kind of situation where it's that main character and the boss.
Yep, and I was just about to say it. Yep.
And they're in a tense segment that essentially sets the stage for the next, like, pretty much for the rest of the period.
Because the first segment on the Raw after WrestleMania is Vince basically bringing Austin out and being like, "Yo, congrats on being the champion, but just know if you're going to be the world champion of my company, you're going to do things my way." And
correct.
And Austin's like, "Well, go fuck yourself," and he stuns him.
Yeah, and it felt like with Austin Vince there that we really set the stage for what the next year of creative is going to be. And right over here, it's the same thing. We've been in a certain trajectory with this creative direction for a while, but now it's fully hammered in that this is Cody's era, and he had a segment with The Rock that's 100% going to build to the next year of WWE. So
this isn't a super chat, but it says The Rock is filming Smashing Machine, directed by Benny, I don't know how to read that last name, and produced by A24. I fully believe this run he had is to mentally prepare to take on the roles with more depth.
Yo, that may be, bro. I'm telling you, like, this really showed the layers of Dwayne as a performer, because he's so used to being the big muscle guy hero, but he can do more, and he showed it here.
Yeah, he needs to just be like I'm tired of Rock being himself in movies, bro. It's time to be a villain.
He's really, really good at it. He's really good at it. This final boss run has been exceptional. And he has set the stage now to set WWE on its way. So the more you think about it, and the more you just kind of peel back the layers, the opening segment was really good. So
yeah, they're gonna kill Roman on Friday, bro. This is bad.
Yeah. Yeah. It's gonna be something. Jacob Fatu is debuting imminently. It's been officially confirmed by The Observer, by PW Insider, by Fight.
No!
Jacob Fatu.
No.
Jacob Fatu is debuting. He is signed with WWE. I think he's going to destroy Roman Reigns.
It's so over, bro. It's so over.
Yeah. The next big thing on the show, Rob, Shinsuke Nakamura came out for an in-ring action. And he was met by Ilya Dragunov, the NXT champion. And Dragunov came out there. During his entrance, Michael Cole announced that the WWE draft was returning at the end of the month, April 26th, which, as I'm looking at my calendar right now, is in 17 days. And then it'll be on the April 26th SmackDown and the April 29th Raw. We're going to do the draft. And we learned that Ilya Dragunov has made himself eligible for this draft. So Dragunov is wrestling Nakamura. He gets big NXT chance and Ilya chance. And he's just doing typical Dragunov stuff. He's hitting him hard. He's elbowing him. He's kicking him. He's doing all this stuff. Nakamura's firing back a little bit. They actually have it's not a long match. They actually have a nice little match here. And Dragunov does some snap Germans. He tries to, he doesn't release the hold. He tries to get him back up again. Nakamura does some counters. Ultimately, Nakamura got hit with the Constantine special. Ilya's really intense during this whole thing. He's really showcasing that side of himself where he's just clenching his muscles and he's being really over the top with the selling and everything. He's screaming, he's powering up, and he gets Shinsuke Nakamura with the H-bomb, which looked super devastating. He literally just like, he flexes his muscle and he's like, ah, boom, drops right on his head, gets to the corner, and the fans did know the Unbe Sigbar. He's like, Unbe Sigbar, and the fans went with it, and he hit them with the Torpedo Moscow and got the win. My prevailing thought about this was Ilya Dragunov is going to make it on the main roster. He is not, size-wise, he's not the prototypical size of a main roster WWE star, but I think he has really, really, really strong physical charisma that really is like kind of larger than life and projects outwards. Yes. He kind of comes off a certain way, like with the jacket, just the way he works is so, so intense.
Right.
I just think people are like, he's going to turn into one of those guys where when his music hits, you know, you're going to see an ass kicker and people are going to get into that. I think the way Benoit got over in 2000 by just being a machine, I think Dragunov is going to get over in that same way. And I actually think he's going to be one of those guys who's in the upper mix, like just pretty quickly. So a good debut for Dragunov here.
Yeah, actually it was a really good debut. I really like how, because when Triple H was running it, it wasn't a collaborative effort because Triple H's wrestling was 10 times better at the time than Vince McMahon's wrestling. And so he was very upset and jealous, clearly very jealous. And so he would kill his Triple H's creations when they came up to the main roster because of this. And I feel like this NXT is nowhere near like the black and gold NXT in terms of like
in-ring product
in-ring product and stuff. I like the way the working relationship is between Shawn Michaels and Triple H, because they know that in order to get these wrestlers over, because wrestlers never really went up to the main roster and did anything and vice versa. You never saw main roster guys go down and have an NXT match. And so when these NXT guys would come up to the main roster, unless you were like a super, super diehard WWE fan and you watched everything they put on the network, you didn't really know much about the call-ups. And so Triple H letting guys go down to NXT and fit, like, perfect example. I don't think people would know Dragunov's move, the shit that he says in the corner before he does his move. I don't think he would know that if he didn't face like guys, draws for the show, like Dominic Mysterio. I don't think they get that if you didn't face other main roster stars in that time period. So I really like the working relationship that's going on with NXT and the main roster. So
yeah, there's some good synergy. I think that this is going to be the most successful wave of call-ups ever.
And yes. Look at how over Bron Breakker is, bro.
The thing is, part of it is just because WWE is going to finally act like a proper promotion. Because do you realize how broken it is that their developmental system was not on the same page as the main roster? And anybody that came up, Vince just decided there's something wrong with him. I have to change him. I have to break him a bit. I have to mold him a certain way. And it's kind of why, like, most of these people were kind of, like, slashed at the knees and they didn't work. And so many talents that were really shined up well got really fucked over. But now that there's the synergy, and now that, like, on a core level, people are coming up that Hunter wants to pan out and succeed. Because of that, most of them are going to do well. And the really top-level talents, like a Bron Breakker, like a Tiffany Stratton, like a Creed brother, like an Ilya Dragunov.
I don't think if Tiffany doesn't have the match with Becky, if Bron doesn't have the match with Seth, if Ilya doesn't have the matches with Dominic and the other guys that came down, I don't think that they get the reactions that they're beginning on the main roster at all.
That's the other thing. The back and forth is helping, you know, kind of like popping in, popping out, them popping down. It's right. Really, really helping. So yeah, Dragunov, I think he's going to do double duty for a little bit. And I think that's going to really help NXT. It's going to help the main roster. It's a good strategy. I think he's ready also to be up. So I'm no complaints from me. He's fucking world class. I'm really excited to see Bron Breakker get going. Rob, the other day I just thought of the idea of Jacob Fatu versus Bron Breakker, and I started pacing in my room.
Bro, somebody posted yesterday Bron Breakker versus Jacob Fatu in a random episode of SmackDown. I was like, oh my god.
Do you know how fucking awesome that's gonna be? I want that to be a feud. I can't cap.
That needs to be a pay-per-view. That's a pay-per-view main event match.
Honestly, bro, when Jacob kills Roman, what if like Paul Heyman looks around and is like, I need a new monster to fight the monster that is Jacob Fatu. And he uses Bron Breakker, and you really build that one. Like, there's so much. That's money. That's absolute money to me.
Austin Kinkle. Jacob Fatu versus Bron Breakker is the real Godzilla versus Kong.
Yeah, I'm gonna get two raw ass pictures of Bron and Jacob and post that shit. So yeah, I'm excited for some of these call-ups. We got a recap of the World Heavyweight Championship match from WrestleMania and Damian Priest's cash-in. And the Judgment Day were shown walking backstage, as we hear from them after the events of this past week and coming up on Raw. The Judgment Day come out. Specifically, it was Finn Balor, JD, and Dominic already in the ring, kind of cutting a promo, introducing them. They're cutting a heel promo on the crowd. Dominic was trying to introduce Rhea Ripley. He got booed. They got Rhea Ripley out there, and she said that WrestleMania was almost perfect, and that they, she was just kind of talking about how this is going to be a new era for the Judgment Day, and so she's talking her shit. Finn Balor then introduced the new World Heavyweight Champion, Damian Priest, and Damian Priest's entrance was tremendous. He has his new theme song, and the presentation of this and the visual, especially again in the small stage, was really, really, really good. He came off big time. He had the big red suit. He looked like a freaking like vampire or whatever. He looked like a villain. Like he looked like fucking, I don't know, he's from Dante's Inferno or some shit. But he did have a really good introduction. Came off pretty big time. He's out there in the ring and the fans are chanting, "You deserve it." And Priest replied, "You're damn right I do." He referred to himself and Rhea Ripley as the Terror Twins. They're the two champ title holders of the Judgment Day. And so this thing is going pretty well. And then as Damian Priest says, "All rise for the Judgment Day." And right as he's doing that, R-Truth joins in and raises his tag championship belt. And so then it devolves into this comedy segment where they're like, "What the hell are you doing?" And he's like, "You're not in the Judgment Day." And he's like doing the whole like, "Yes, I am" thing and the whole shtick there. And so they're going back and forth about that again. And Miz comes out and basically this leads to a segment where Finn Balor was saying, "You guys are going to be the shortest tag champions of all time." They wanted a tag team championship match against the Awesome Truth. This does not happen because Truth says that I actually have another person in mind for a six-person tag, someone you can't see. And so Miz believes he's talking about Little Jimmy. And so they do some Little Jimmy jokes, but the match starts and this third person that Truth has been referring to does not come. And so we get a two-segment six-person tag match, which is fine. It's a fine match. But the real big thing here is that after the commercial break, we come back and JD is beating down on R-Truth and Miz. And we get this John Cena theme cue. And John Cena comes out there. He does the five moves of doom. He looks really, really funny. He has the strangest head of hair I've ever seen. He does the five moves, like I said. We get a triple five-knuckle shuffle. And then we get a triple attitude adjustment from the babyfaces. And one, two, three, synergistic pins. And John Cena helps R-Truth. R-Truth's childhood idol, in air quotations, John Cena, has helped him, even though R-Truth is older than John Cena.
R-Truth is like 10 years older than John Cena, by the way.
Yeah, so they finally pay off the John Cena R-Truth meme, which has been a thing for like 4 years. And we do so in a feel-good match here. I don't have that many thoughts on this other than that it was cool that they got John Cena on the Raw of Urania. And now that R-Truth paid off that joke and that he got this thing over Judgment Day, I think we should transition towards them now losing these belts after they got the moment. And I actually don't think Judgment Day should be the ones to do it. I think that they should lose it to Kaiser and Vinci.
Yes. If you want to do something impactful, I think it actually should be before Gunther comes back. If whenever however long Gunther is staying away from TV, I think imminently, like immediately, the Imperium should beat Awesome Truth for the tag belts. There's no need for them to have a longer than a month reign. I said the same thing about Damian Priest's world title reign. It doesn't need to be longer than a month. It shouldn't be longer than a month. These things should be done as a moment. We need more moments in wrestling, bro. That's what used to get us over. That's what used to get the business over back in the day. It was moments. It was like 1 week. Bro, I think the tag belts changed like 3 or 4 times in the Mania 17 build. In between from like August to all the way to April. So that's what happened. That's what should happen with that. It was nice to see Cena doing his thing, but yo, that hair gotta go.
The hair happened. It looks crazy. He looks crazy.
You look, yo, bro, you look crazy. You look crazy.
It's hard to see John as anything other than a meme right now. I can't take him serious.
Yeah, bro, like the buzz cut hat. Yo, next time you come back on like a, and it's a serious run, if you come back from a serious run, the hair has to go. You got to bring the buzz cut back, bro. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. You gotta
go. The commentary recap the Andre the Giant Battle Royal. On last night's SmackDown, Bronson Reed won this match, last eliminating Ivar, I believe. And we transitioned out of that recap to Bronson Reed, who was boasting that he's going to show the three other competitors in the number one contender four-way match what Raw dominance looks like. During Reed's promo, the screen briefly glitched and showed this flashing image, which is likely a tease of Bo Dallas as Uncle Howdy.
No comment.
A promo for Friday SmackDown advertised Fallout for Mania. Bayley and Cody will be in attendance for SmackDown this week.
Sounds bad.
Backstage, Rhea Ripley and Dominic were shown walking. Rhea said that Andrade was the problem that needed to be dealt with, not John Cena. Dominic went to see Adam Pearce, which allowed Liv Morgan to jump Rhea Ripley by throwing a chair at her. Morgan brutally attacked Ripley, which caused referees and Dominic to separate the two. And Dominic, he held the camera and he said, "Get the camera off Rhea." And he slaps the camera away and slaps the camera right into the next scene because the camera then turns, going up the tunnel, going out of the tunnel, then going right through the crowd, right into the ring as Indy Hartwell was there waiting for her opponent. And her opponent was Roxanne Perez. Roxanne Perez is currently the NXT champion. She won the belt against Lyra Valkyria at Stand and Deliver. And, yeah, they had a little match there. Roxy got some NXT chance. She won the match pretty quickly in short order with Pop Rocks. Another situation where Candice tries to cheat on behalf of Indy Hartwell. Indy Hartwell's not on board with it. and she's upset, and it causes her downfall.
I also like that they didn't, like, even though the crowd was like kind of excited to see her, I like that they didn't change the dynamic of the match, and they kept her now heel gimmick heel, which mm-hmm. is basically like her grabbing Indy Hartwell by the hair and telling me, you're like basically saying, you're a disgrace, you should have never won my championship. So
yeah, there was some like lore from NXT like a year ago, which is really
should have never you should have never held my belt, shit like that.
Right. They Michael Cole even mentioned that. He even said like last year WrestleMania weekend that like Roxanne had to like forfeit the belt. It was in a ladder match, and then Indy won it, and that whole thing. So they did make mention of that. So Roxanne got the win. It was nice to kind of get her out there in the main roster audience. Following this, we got a recap of Sami's championship win for the Intercontinental Championship. And Zayn was walking backstage, and he got congratulated by Jey Uso. And the commentators mentioned that we would hear from Sami Zayn up next. Roxanne was shown walking backstage, confronted by Natalya, who... Natalya walked in the frame, every part of her, and she said that she would see Roxanne tomorrow night on NXT. So. Looks like Roxanne versus Natalya, I presume, on tomorrow's or tonight's NXT. That'll probably be decent, to be honest with you. But Sami Zayn speaks. Sami Zayn got a really, really great reaction in Philadelphia. They chanted, "You deserve it." They chanted, "Sammy." They did the Ole singing, Sammy said he told the fans how much they meant to him. He talked about how he had done some historic things at WrestleMania in the past few years, and that this year he wanted to top it, acknowledging that he may have done so. Sammy gave credit to the former Intercontinental Champion Gunther and his 666-day reign, a stuff with law. And then he said that he's the greatest Intercontinental Champion of our time. And he said he beat him. He said he couldn't take sole credit for the win. He wanted to give credit to the WWE fans, his wife and child, Kevin Owens. He said there's one other guy he needed to thank. And before he thanked, presumably, Chad Gable, he was interrupted by Kaiser and Vinci. And so Kaiser and Vinci came out. They were just kind of talking crap about Sammy. And they jumped in before Chad Gable came out for the save. And then we got Chad Gable and Sami Zayn versus Kaiser and Vinci in a tag match. And this was a two-segment tag match, back-and-forth action. Obviously solid stuff from all these guys who are total pros. And after the first commercial break, this kind of got into high gear. Chad Gable kept attempting the Chaos Theory suplex, and he kept getting like thwarted, but he was doing his thing. Sammy's doing his thing. Sammy gets an exploder on, I believe, Vinci. Sammy did an ankle lock, which was cool. We got stereo German suplexes rolling into second German suplexes in this match. Chad Gable does a diving headbutt off the top rope. Sami Zayn gets the haluva kick.
I like the camera angle that they had on the headbutt too.
Yeah, the stereo Germans were awesome. Sami Zayn got the haluva kick, but he then said, "I'm going to give this moment to Chad Gable." And so he tags in Chad Gable for the last bit. And Chad Gable did the delayed stalling bridging German suplex and got the win off that. So fun match, fun action. I always love seeing Chad Gable wrestle on TV. I think he should wrestle all the time. And so he celebrates with Sami Zayn, and they get the win over Imperium. What did you think of this match, Rob?
I loved this match. I loved the segment. I really like Imperium basically just coming out and being like, yo, you can't just beat our nigga and then just act like everything is sweet afterwards. I'm not supposed to beat your ass about it. So that was fun. The tag match is really good. I like Sami Zayn and Gable as a tandem, but it's time to break that tandem up next week.
Yeah, we're gonna talk about this very, very soon. But yep. We followed this up with some recaps and stuff, and then we went backstage and Andrade was shown shaking hands with Adam Pearce. And NXT General Manager Ava and SmackDown General Manager Nick Aldis were seen all there backstage. They discussed that the upcoming draft would be for all brands.
Yes, which basically means that entails that all three general managers can draft, which basically means we will be seeing some Raw and SmackDown talents go to NXT.
Yeah, I don't know. So I do think NXT should get some of the main roster guys because
yes,
I've been asking for a long time, what are they going to do after all these call-ups?
Cameron Grimes should definitely go back to NXT. He's not doing anything.
Right. That's the thing. The people that are good but aren't doing anything might as well go down. My thing is this. Yeah, if you're not active and you can help, you should go. I don't think it should be like a... I don't think they need that many people, though. I think, like, just a couple key pieces. Joaquin Wilde having a singles run in NXT, I think, could be. Because he's
the LWO, like, as a tandem, as a tag team, having a tag team run in NXT could be gas.
Because you could do it. Yeah, you could do an LWO SmackDown and LWO NXT or something. Because here's the thing. Joaquin is so good in the PC when he wrestles there, right? And so, to me, it's like, shit, you might as well kind of, like, expand that and see what happens.
Right.
But, yeah, we'll see how it turns out. I don't think it should be an even split three ways. I think it should be main roster leaning with some help going down NXT, but we'll see how that turns out. Maybe they do three picks for Raw, two picks for SmackDown, one pick for NXT. We'll see. We'll see. But, yeah, very interesting detail. The company was touting their live business. Chelsea Green came out. I forgot to mention Chelsea Green interrupted the GMs and she was complaining about not having a match at WrestleMania. And so she went out there for her match and it was Jade Cargill who came out. She looked like a beast and then she squashed her immediately with the Jaded. So Jade Cargill gets the swash here. I'd like to see things expand with Jade. It was announced today, Rob. I don't know if you've even seen this. Jade Cargill is going to be doing live events starting next weekend, which is great news.
Okay, good.
Jade needs to be out there doing the house shows. She has to.
And her house shows, this is the problem. And this was the problem in AEW, right? And this is not a knock on AEW. This is the problem. This was the problem. Jade Cargill cannot keep doing squash matches. She cannot keep doing squash matches. I don't care if you think her moveset is limited. I don't care if you think she's limited in the ring. She can't keep doing squash matches. Okay, you think she's limited in the ring, but let me ask you this. Continuing to do 2-minute, 3-minute squash matches, how is that going to help anybody? Goldberg didn't improve until he got to the WWE and he had to start working 8-minute TV matches on Raws and 8-minute TV and 10-minute matches on house shows. It was that way in WCW because he was doing 1-minute matches at first and then he had to face Kevin Nash in them. And Kevin Nash is like, well, I'm not fucking, these people paid to see me. I'm not fucking going out there and working 5 fucking minutes. We're doing 12 minutes, brother. So that's what she should do. You should start off at 5 minutes on the house show and start off with 10 minutes and keep going forward as you keep going on. She can't keep doing her all her house show appearances, all her TV appearances can't be 30 seconds to 2 minutes.
You gotta, back in the day, Rob, they would use the house show to just do experimental stuff and help people. So like they'd give somebody 30 minutes on a house show. Like, as crazy as that sound, they would do things like that. And I'm not saying give Jade Cargill 30 minutes. I think giving Jade a 15-minute match on the house show would be really beneficial if she does that every week. I think she does two 15-minute matches a week on every like house show loop. I think she's going to become a exponentially better wrestler because then with the experience of the 15 minutes, you can shred that down to 6 minutes on TV, and it'll be a really good 6 minutes that you see out of her. And then that can be expanded to 10. And then on pay-per-view, all of a sudden, Jade Cargill, now she can go back and forth with somebody. So I think doing house shows is going to be a really big benefit to her. So that's the deal with Jade Cargill. And after she beat Chelsea Green, we got some more recaps, and Sami Zayn was backstage. And Chad Gable was talking with the Alpha Academy. Sammy asked for some privacy, and so Otis, Maxine, and Tozawa were excused. And Sammy was talking to Chad, and he said he knew what Gable wanted when he asked for a favor. And he basically said, you want a shot at the Intercontinental Championship. And Chad kind of looked at the belt like longingly. Intensely.
Hold on, I got y'all. Keep talking. I know exactly what this is going to be.
And it was official. Next week, Raw is going to be in Montreal, Sami Zayn's hometown. And we're going to get Chad Gable versus Sami Zayn for the Intercontinental Championship. we saw these two guys in the closing stretch of the Gauntlet match about a month ago, and it was absolutely amazing. A one-on-one singles match with these two guys in Sammy's home turf, where they're going to be hot for him, is going to be remarkable.
This is what this match should be. This so is that's, what this should be the outcome.
That's the question I'm going to ask now. What are we going to do here? Are they going to have a babyface match where Chad loses and he hugs it out and that's it? Are we going to have a babyface match where Chad cheats to then win the match? Are we going to have a match where Chad loses and turns after losing? It feels like in a setting where the crowd is going to be 100% pro Sammy, it feels like a chance to do a big angle. And it does kind of bring up the antennas for what this might be. So I'm really excited, and it could be one of those things. And Rob, it appears you think it's going to be the Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles SmackDown Championship match thing, right?
Listen, because I'm a big fan. First of all, Sami Zayn has had like 8 Intercontinental Championship reigns already. All right, so nobody will be crying if he loses in 8 days, because he's had like eight reigns already. That's the first thing. The second thing is, right, I don't want to see Chad Gable lose again. I'm tired of seeing Chad Gable lose. This will be now 4 Intercontinental Championship matches that he's lost if he loses next week. And yeah, you could have him do a turn and all of that, but like, you know, you could have him do a turn after losing, but I want to see him turn and win. I want to see Chad Gable get desperate. I need desperate Chad Gable. I need him to be like, yo, I can't fucking lose this again.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, man.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens.
Yeah, no, for sure. So that's gonna be big time next week. That's gonna be big time. Following this, Drew McIntyre came out, and he's really, really, really upset.
Oh my
god, he's mad about everything that happened.
Fuck,
he is so angry, and he cut a hell of a promo. He was upset about He put over Seth Rollins for being honorable, and he called Damian Priest Bondage Undertaker.
That was so crazy.
Yeah, that was funny. He's calling CM Punk a coward, and he's shitting on him. And he said that it's on site the next time he sees CM Punk. So that's kind of the thing with that. Jey Uso interrupted McIntyre's tirade. We went to commercial break. And then it was announced that next week on Raw, Andrade versus Dominic and Sami Zayn versus Chad Gable for the IC title. And so this was a number one contender's fatal four-way match for, and the winner would become the number one contender for the World Heavyweight Championship. Jey Uso versus Drew McIntyre versus Ricochet versus Bronson Reed. 3-segment match. Didn't really get going until the last segment because we couldn't see a lot of the action, because this thing got shredded by commercial breaks at the beginning, man. It was hard to like...
Fucking picture in picture, brah.
Yeah, it was hard to get going because it was like... It was just so chopped up, but the last 8-minute stretch was really good. It was really fun. We got this kind of Japanese style strike exchange with Drew McIntyre and Bronson Reed. They were trading chops and elbows. Jey Uso got in the mix a little bit. He tried to spear Bronson Reed to a diagonal table in the corner of the ring. That did not happen. Bronson Reed was able to he did like a press slam. Mm-hmm. To Jey Uso to the table, and out of the last commercial break, then Ricochet got unleashed, and he starts getting going, and he's doing his thing, and he's backflipping off people's chests, runs Geary's, and all that kind of fun stuff. Drew McIntyre gets him up for a big belly to belly. Bronson gives him a beel. They're going back and forth again. This gets going when Jay and Ricochet are super kicking Drew. Bronson Reed gets in the mix, and PWG style, we get a triple super kick. Then we get some high knees and kicks and flips and enziguris between the three of these guys. And it then leads to a spear on Drew, I believe, from Jay. And so this was like the kind of PWG section of the match. And it led to all of them on the floor selling and the big This Is Awesome chants. So this got pretty fun. And then Jay was going to do something on the top rope. Ricochet got him with an enziguri. And with Bronson Reed on the announce table, Ricochet goes up and does a springboard 450 splash from the rope to the announce table. he hits his ribs on the table, like rib first, and the table just explodes, and it's a hell of a fucking spot. It's a hell of a spot. But Drew McIntyre picks up the bones of Jey Uso. He's about to get him. He hits him with the DDT he does, the Future Shock, and he's about to hit him with the 3-2-1 and the Claymore. It looks like he's finally going to get Jay and win this match. And CM Punk emerges from out of nowhere and grabs onto his leg. And it's like, what the hell? Punk screws Drew again. And then, boom, Drew McIntyre's hit with a spear. 1, 2, 3. Two straight losses. Jey Uso is the number one contender. CM Punk gets the last laugh on Drew McIntyre. This match was really good. I thought this was really fun. A lot of fun action. Ricochet shined. I think Bronson's starting to kind of get into a bit of a rhythm personally. I think he's actually kind of finding a bit of a flow here in WWE now. He's starting to really kind of get what's the word I want to use? He's making himself, he feels like an active part of the main roster now instead of just a guy that they're really forcing. But yeah, I thought this main event was good. Jey Uso versus Damian Priest, that's not, you know, moving the needle for anything. It feels like a TV match. I hope it is a TV match. But as a story beat with Punk screwing Drew, I think it's really, really, really good. And I thought this was a strong close to the show. What did you think, Rob?
I really liked this fucking four-way. We say it every week on the Raw Review. Ricochet is literally still, 15 years later, one of the best wrestlers in the world. It is insane how Ricochet can just do these things so effortlessly. Like, it went from him doing that little backflip that he does on his entrance to going to his, like, doing a little Osprey, him and Osprey pose, to him just doing that and then doing a backflip. I've said it all, that, you know, the way he just flips, it's like easy to him. It's like an instinctive thing to him, like, that he could just flip so easily. I think Bronson Reed's work was really good in the match. His sequence with Drew with the chops and the forearms were really nice. And Jey Uso did his thing in the match as well. But I think this match is very much a Drew-centered match, which is basically like, can Drew get his shot back and get his belt back? And I did, and I didn't enjoy it, but I did like the part where Punk, where they basically were like, Punk gets him again. So it was cool.
How long have I been muted? What the hell?
You were muted for like a minute. I thought you were like talking. I thought you were like gone or doing something. Wait, so I was about to get into super chats.
You caught my review of the match though, right?
Yeah, like, oh no, no.
Okay.
Yeah,
all
yeah,
right.
Yeah, we got your review of the match, of course.
I was gonna say, okay,
cool. Everything after that when I was talking, we didn't get.
All right. So guys, we got about 10 minutes left here. So get your last super chats in. Give us your feedback, ask any questions. We're going to get through these now before we close up here. Rob, let's go start opening through them.
Will Chisholm, $5. With reports of Nick Khan wants to work with outside companies, outside TNA and Bloodsport, who else could WWE work with?
I'm not really sure.
I think they're going to work with Rossi's new promotion. 100%.
Probably. You know what I think they're going to
do? Oh, this nigga Rossi. Oh, brother.
You know what? I have a prediction, Rob. Julia has not left. She's still in the United States. I think they might go, yo, we want her now, but we'll let her do Rossi pro dates when she's needed. I think they could do that. Because the original,
I think Rossi's with them. Like, he's doing things like.
Yeah. Yeah. The reason why I said this and raised this though is because, like, the original plan was she's going to do Rossi pro and then come to WWE at the end of the year. But clearly they're trying to get this thing going now. So,
I'll show y'all this thing, bro.
He's walking around in WrestleMania sweaters and shit,
bro.
It's pretty funny.
Before I show y'all this thing,
wait, we're going to bring a super chat. The thing is, a lot of the promotions WWE could work with aren't very good, or like, nor do they like what they're gonna work with AAA, you know what I mean? NWA. So that's kind of the tough part about this thing.
Look at this nigga, bro.
That picture's really small, but yeah, he has the WrestleMania sweater. It's really funny.
This is crazy.
Yeah, he looks crazy. He looks crazy.
All right. Karan Mirchandani. I'm getting better at it. Mirchandani. 100 rupees. Was Rock's cadence weird? Is he okay? Should we be concerned about his sanity? Jesus fucking Christ, he's terrifying. Might evolve into a crazier version when he returns.
Yeah, he's nuts. He's talking like he has this weird, like, almost black southern drawl. He's just like, when The Rock first became the people's champion,
where is he from? Why is he talking like this?
I don't know. He's just like,
bro, you're talking like you're from Alabama. Rock
was whipping you good, boy. I was whipping you good in front of your mama. Rock was just whipping. Rock was really putting no boots to you, boy. And it's like, why are you talking like this? It's so eerie.
Bro, brother, you're from Hayward. You're from Hayward, California. And you grew up in Miami. Why are you talking like
this? Why is The Rock like a grizzled
It sounds like man? He's talking like Colonel Robert Parker or some shit. Like, why are you talking like this?
The Rock really got you good, boy. The Rock got you good. Like, it's crazy. Yeah, I agree, Karan. I'm very frightened.
Corey David, $2. Thoughts of Obafemi is Sheamus still leaving. Thoughts on Obafemi,
I think he's trying to ask. I think Obafemi is getting really good really fast. He's improving like literally every match. I think he's awesome. I think he should do another year in NXT. Yes. And then regarding Sheamus, so some people saw the video package as an indication that he re-signed. As far as I know, he has not re-signed yet. But a lot of time has been added to his deal due to injury because he's been gone for quite some time. If we're wondering what the expiration date on his deal now is, it's probably like the middle of the year, if not like leaning towards the fall.
Also, people need to stop acting like these returns or like whatever this shit is mean. People, bro, Edge got drafted to SmackDown and left in September.
Yes, he did.
That didn't mean he resigned. He clearly didn't resign because he's going to be on Dynamite this Wednesday. So that doesn't mean Sheamus resigned.
Right. Sheamus, he could. I'm not saying the door
is closed. Yeah, like, I'm not saying like the door is closed, obviously. I'm but just saying
that wasn't an indication, like, oh, so he's just not leaving. They're gonna tack about 5 months to his deal. So we're looking now at
when was the last time we seen Sheamus?
I want to say September. His deal was going to expire in January originally, so you got to do the math there. We're looking at the middle of the year.
Yeah, which is unfortunate, but yeah. Hush 199. Roman is confirmed for SmackDown. Thought he's on break.
He's not, but I hope he's there. I really do hope he's there because I'd like the Jacob Fatu angle to be him destroying Roman Reigns, but we shall see. Again, what we do know is that Fatu is officially signed and that he will be starting imminently.
We know what that means. Hush 199. What's going on for Forbidden Door 3? Is New Japan is out?
I don't know. We know that they're no longer going to be in Arthur Ashe, which is very disappointing. Part of the reason why is because apparently New Japan didn't want to pay
half. New Japan machine broke.
Yeah, the New Japan machine is broke. They don't want to pay half the cost of running that venue. So it's unfortunate.
Very unfortunate.
Man. The yen is down.
The yen is down. Alex Diaz, 1990, $2. If Ricky Starks ever makes the WWE move, what's his ceiling? Don't ask me.
United States champion.
United States champion, nigga, European champion. What the fuck? Yo, the fuck is Ricky Starks gonna do when there is already a nigga? Well, he's not like The Rock at all in terms of charisma or anything. He's not like The Rock at all. But there's already a nigga that wears fucking designer cutoff shirts and short sleeve open button down shirts and wears leather pants and fucking wears shades and cut and all this shit. That's first of all, what is it going to look like if Ricky Starks comes to help Cody Rhodes and he's standing across the ring from 6'4", 265-pound Dwayne Johnson? Come on, y'all. Come on now, y'all. Like, we have to be real. Like, I don't shit on people's dreams here, but we got to be realistic. We have to be realistic and look at things the way that they are. Like, if you put Cody Rhodes and if you put Ricky Starks in the ring with all the people that we've seen in that main event on Saturday night, if you put him in the ring with the Bloodline alone, he's going to look so fucking insignificant.
I think Ricky could be a TV regular. I think he could get over. I think he could be paired with Cody Rhodes on screen. I think he could mix it up with, you know, some of those guys in the mid-card scene. The thing is, WWE is the main roster talent right now. It's very talented. And, they're, like, high-end guys, dude. Like,
come on.
A lot of them are high-end dudes.
Come on, y'all. Like, Ricky Stark standing across the ring from Braun Strowman. Come on, y'all.
No, come on. I mean, look, he can hang in there, but, you know.
Like, come on, bro. And I wouldn't even be saying that because I'm not a size, like, pause. I'm not a size matters in WWE pause kind of guy. But, like, in WWE, there's a reason WWE, as much as I love him, didn't sign Brian Cage. There's a reason they didn't sign Brian Cage. So, come on, guys. Good program. Hush 199. Andrade running through Judgment Day. He's going to get a world. Is he getting a world title shot?
I think he's going to get a world title shot, yeah. Yeah.
Yo, guys. I said pause, bro. No Diddy. I said that's pause.
Crazy. That's crazy. They're frying you. They're frying you. That was crazy.
This is crazy. 199. Is Roman going to be on SmackDown?
Yeah, I haven't gotten that confirmed yet. I don't know. I know there's a lot of Jacob Fatu chatter this week, though. So, to me, what makes sense is Fatu being involved with Roman Reigns. But we'll see how they do it.
All righty. Thank you for the super chat. Hush 199. What are the chances Regal poaches a Umino or a Tsuji? Never. If anything happens, Shota Umino, if he ever leaves New Japan, I feel like Mox is going to get him in AEW.
My answer to this is I think he's going to look more towards the international talents that aren't under the umbrella of New Japan.
John Moxley would never let Shota Umino go to WWE.
I'd keep my eyes on Akatsuki Nakajima. And he seems to be the big one right now.
I think I have to say this a little bit louder because people won't understand me. John Moxley will never let Shota Umino touch WWE. Ever.
You never know. I'm not going to say nothing. I don't say never for anything in wrestling, but that's not, I don't think.
He's going to show Shota Umino a picture of his staph infection and be like, you want this?
I don't think that's in the cards at the moment. I don't think that's in the cards.
Ever. Will Chisholm, $5. Did someone go to HBK and tell him Julia is a big deal? Don't put her in no stupid segments.
Yeah, man. I think NXT needs to just in general kind of tone down on that aspect of the show. But I think Julia will be fine. I think they'll just kind of drag and leave her where she's there for a few months and gets called up. And I also think that because she's not like English isn't her first language, I don't think she's gonna do the whole like skit stuff, you know. But yeah, we'll see how it turns out. We'll see how it turns out.
All right, Duce Rhodes, $4.99. WWE X AAA QT finally hits the big stage. WWE X TNA Moose versus Priest who move mountains. WWE X Noah Kaito jobbing to the Miz.
Even though he's joking, that's the thing. It's like I see people getting worried about like WWE collaborating with these companies, but most of these promotions aren't that good.
Like they with TNA, they have some talents in TNA that they collaborate with. Like they can do matches if they really wanted to. I could see them doing a speedball match or I don't see Nemeth doing anything with Nemeth at all because Nemeth, I don't think Nemeth anything wants anything to do with them at all. But Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. Will Chisholm, $5. That picture of Rossi looks scary. Like it's AI. It's so funny. Nah, bro. It's just, you know. You know. Y'all know what's going on.
Rossi's a funny dude. Tony Khan actually ended up being right about him.
Shark and Jive. What happened?
I said, you're a piece of shit.
What'd I do?
But Tony Khan ended up being right about Rossi, which is really funny.
Bro, like hold on, I got one more. Just look at this man. Look at this man. Look at this man. Come on, y'all. This come on. Like Jumanji Hunter, $2. Triple H needs to book women better. Yes, he absolutely does. He absolutely does. Caden Lee of the Performance Center. Going to a Noah show in Corican next month. Let's fucking go.
Have fun, man.
Hopefully Jake Lee doesn't main event the show that you go to. That would be really, really, I would feel really bad for you if that took place. And I think that's all the super chats that we have for now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Guys, thank you so much for the feedback. Thank you so much for supporting the show. We got a random viewership jump in a late stretch here. I wonder if like there was a live, was there like a big wrestling live stream that we were going head to head with that like ended? Because that happens sometimes. We're like, we'll get a jump and it's because like, oh, like some other streamer like a JD or like Fightful will be done. And like some people are like, oh, let's see what's going on with Wrestle Purist. But you all right, Rob?
Yeah, I'm all right.
The hell is going on with you?
Sorry.
The hell is going on with you? Anyways, guys, thank you so much for supporting the Wrestle Purist, Raw review. You guys are awesome. Appreciate you so much. And yeah, man, thank you so much. Please like the video, comment, subscribe if you haven't subscribed to Wrestle Purist. And yeah, I think I'm gonna fucking get some rest and recover because WrestleMania weekend kicked the shit out of me.
I haven't watched any wrestling besides Monday Night Raw.
I need to take a fucking vacation. That's what I want to do. I want to take a vacation. Wrestle out,
brother.
I want to take a vacation. I want to fucking just recover and we'll see if Boss Man lets me. We'll see what happens there. But for Rob, I am Ibu of Wrestle Pierce. I'll see you guys around. This is the Raw review. Take care.